So glad to see y'all. Welcome to our Thanksgiving service. Let's start out with our shouts. What do we do? We love God and love others. What do we say? I love God and I love you. Thank you for joining us. Some of you are online. Hi. I know there's a bunch joining us online. Some are on the outside. Hi. Some are the inside outside. Hi. And some are right here in the center. So welcome wherever you're joining us. We're so glad that you're here. For the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at the importance of being thankful for things in our lives. And in case you didn't realize, we put them in order. The first week we did, it was thankful for God. God's got to be the top of our thankful list. And the second week we did last week was thankful for salvation. Those got to be our one and two, God and then the salvation that's found through Jesus Christ. And we find ourselves today on our Thanksgiving Sunday with the third most important thankfulness that we need to have in our lives. The title for today is Thankful for Who God Provides. God's the most important to be thankful, then salvation through Jesus. But then the next important thankful category is the who in our lives. That's why we shout it out every week, love God and love others. I've mentioned before that my mentor is Mr. Dr. Pastor David Rim. And God brought him into my life at the exact right perfect time. Sometimes people just come into your life at the time where you absolutely need them. At that time, I was on fire for Jesus. I was so excited, but I was raw. I was untrained, and I was all over the place. But I really loved God. And God brought this guy, Pastor David, into my life. And he poured into my life. And what he helped me with was not the things that I thought I wanted or the things that I thought I needed. Pastor David helped me to give the things that God needed to do in me. He helped train me in a way that God could use me in a way that I couldn't even imagine. One Friday after service, I served on Friday night. We always had youth group, and at that time I was doing Awana, I think, and I was a games leader at Awana and finished that ministry. And then we used to go all together, all the different departments, and have a prayer circle on Friday night, and that lasted until about 10 o'clock. And after praying one night, the whole group, everybody kind of went home, and Pastor Dave and I were still there. He's locking up, and I'm just hanging around because I'm awkward like that. That's what I do, you know. I like to shut the building down. And we were just hanging back, and he said, "Oh, come into my office. I got something for you." So I went into his office, and he gave me a gift. Now, it was a gift that I needed, but I was 19 years old. I was a motorcycle drive-in crazy kind of person. I had passion for Jesus, and he said, there were a lot of things that I wanted in life, and he said, I've got you a gift. Every pastor needs a good set of commentaries. Commentaries. Commentary. 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 Commentaries. A good set of commentaries. These are the actual set of commentaries that he gave me that day. Now, I didn't have a car. I had to jam these in my backpack, plus the other stuff that I had. And I think one was jammed in the handlebar of the motorcycle. Commentaries. Every good pastor needs commentaries. The problem was I wasn't a pastor. I was 19 years old. I loved Jesus. And he said every good pastor needs a commentary. And he always treated me as if I was a pastor, even when I wasn't. Seeing in me something that I didn't see in myself. See, we've got to be thankful for who God brings in our life. He brings all sorts of people at all sorts of times into our lives. Let me set this down so no one gets hurt. That's not what I wanted, but it's absolutely what I needed. And I've used these commentaries for more than 30 years. Thousands of sermons have been crafted in Bible studies with the help of some of these commentaries. Spiritual lives, mine and others, have been changed because of this gift from this who in my life. And so I am so thankful for who God provided at that time. I was only under his mentorship for about 4 years, and then he moved away. Now, I still stayed in contact and talked to him all the time, but God brought him at that exact perfect moment to really change and alter my life. It's most often the case where people profoundly alter us. It really is in experiences and interactions with others that change us. It's family who holds our heart. It's mentors who change and challenge us. It's friends who comfort us and are there with us and sometimes get us in trouble, but always get us out of it again. Knowing that, today I want to just pause and remind ourselves to be thankful for who God provides in our life. And normally I try to run service really clean and then everything has its part and like there's no like messiness, but we're at a family service, so we got babies crying, talking, chirping. That is absolutely okay. If you're a parent of a chirping, talking baby, I love it. I'm so glad they're chirping and talking. At least someone's awake this morning, so don't feel bad about your chirpy kid. If they get distracted and wander around, that's awesome too. I love wandering around kids. If they want to come up here and help, I'm all for raising the next generation of pastors so they can come on up here if they want as well. And so just so you know, this morning, it might feel a little bit messy, but that's okay. What I really want to do is take some time and just pause even the churchiosity of things and just get in this space where we can be thankful for people that are in our lives. Just get in this space. And so I know there's a lot going on in your lives. There's things you got to do, and sometimes we don't create space for God. And so let's just take a breath really fast. You just join me in doing that. Just slow your mind down and tell God, right now we're going to be intentional about thanking you, God, for who you've brought in our life. And I think God's prepared a way for us to walk through this. When we start out life, the first people of thanks are your parents. They're the first inputs. They're the first ones to love you, to care for you, to hold to you. And so they're our first thanks. I think I have a little picture of all sorts of names of parents all over the world. In the book of Exodus, it says to honor your father and mother so that you could live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Like, our parents aren't perfect, but most of us have parents that we could be thankful for. I mean, they've done so much for us, often unappreciated things. Maybe think about your parents and all the things they've done for you, and maybe you didn't thank them enough. We haven't maybe thanked them for all they mean in our lives. And so today we're going to pause and be thankful. And I'm thankful for my parents, especially for their consistent love. Because there were some times when life got a little squiggly, when I wasn't probably the right attitude or the right mind or the right place. And so I'm thankful. My parents' love was consistent throughout my life. If your parents are here in this building, we're going to take a moment. I'm going to pause. There's going to be a lot awkward little silence, and that's okay. If your parents are here, I want you to take a moment, turn to them, and thank them for who they are, for something they've done, and let them know how much you love them right here in service right now. Now, if your parents aren't here, I'm going to invite you to text in church. So would you grab out your phone? I normally don't bring mine up, but I brought mine here. If your parents aren't here, I'd like you to text them right now in the middle of the service. And if your parents have passed away, then I want you to just take a moment and think about something you're thankful for, who they were and how they impacted your life, and just pause and reflect and honor them in a moment of reflection as well. So go ahead, and it's going to be a minute here. I got to text my, I don't think my mom came today, so text my mom. My father's passed away. So let's do that right now. My kid's parent is here, and I haven't even seen one of them come up to me, so you better be talking to mom at least. I got three kids in this building. They are not listening to the pastor. They're texting me from right here. Oh, thanks, son. Great, great. They're silently texting. I'm going to read them out loud. Not really. So your parents, they're your first thanks. And your second thanks comes right after that on your life journey. The next who in your life is your friends. They're the next important who that we can be thankful for. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes this about his friends. He said, how can we thank God enough for you? How could we possibly thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? And what a cool sentence. What an amazing thought from Paul, where he's saying, Like, friends, I don't even know how to thank God enough for you, for you helping me get into God's presence. Friends shape us. They lift us up. They're there for us. They make us mad a lot. They get us frustrated, and yet they provide joy and peace. Friends are one of the greatest joys in life. So I have here's an interaction part. This, you guys have to respond to this part. Has anyone had a friend in their life, and they've had that friend for more than 5 years? Has anyone had a friend for more than 5 years? Raise your hand and keep it up if you've had a friend for more. We're gonna do the how old are you game, or how old is your friend game. Has anyone had a friend for more than 10 years? Same friend more than 10 years? Has anyone had the same friend for more than 25 years? And some of you are not even born long enough to have that. So, anyone have the same friend for more than 35 years? Anyone got more than, that's my limit. Anyone got more than a friend for more than 50 years? And we're not going to ask after that because we don't want to know about you and Moses' friendship back when he brought the Ten Commandments down. 50 years, some of you have a friend for. And maybe some of our online folks raising their hand. 50 years. Incredible. My best friend, his name's Alvin, he would do absolutely anything for me. If I showed up with an undefined something in a huge bag and I told him I had to bury it with no questions asked, he's the one I'd go to. Now, my friend Alvin, he has grumpy face permanently. I think he smiled twice in his entire life. One was like for wedding pictures, and the other was on he lost a bet or something. So he's the grumpiest faced, most faithful person that I know. I would trust my kids and my life to him, absolutely. And so I'm so thankful for that friend that I can always count on. So after service, I want you to think about a friend and maybe connect with them. Not in the middle here. We're not going to pause again for that part, but maybe text or call a friend. Actually, give them a call. Let them hear your voice. I had lunch yesterday with 2 days ago with my friend Alvin, and so thankful for him. Eventually, after your friends, you get a job, and when with a job comes coworkers. So I have a picture of some coworkers here. Oh, those are really good coworkers. Coworkers are really important. In Ecclesiastes, it says two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If someone falls down, then there's someone to help them up. But pity the guy who's working and he falls down and there's no one to help him. I wonder if we spend any time thinking about God bringing coworkers into our life, because I think oftentimes for most of us, now outside of me, my coworkers are spiritual and pastors, but oftentimes we put coworkers in the non-spiritual category. And I don't know if we've spent any time thanking God for bringing these coworkers into our life, even the non-believing ones. Coworkers give us that opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe they challenge our character. Maybe God brings along like-minded folks who love the same things you do in your business, and they have the same passion and drive towards creating whatever product you create or however you help in the hospital or however it works, that God brings coworkers. And I hope that they never get put in the category of just work. I've said many times before, there's no such thing as just work. There's no difference between the secular and the sacred. It's all one. And so I hope that they never cease to be people that God brought into your life. Sometimes we can think of them that way, right? I got the God people. That's like my church friends or whatever, maybe some of my other Christian friends. And then I've got the non-God people. But no, they're the God people too. God brought them into your life, even your coworkers. And so my coworkers are easy to like be thankful for because they're amazing. And it's easy to say thank God for them because they're the pastors and they love Jesus and they have the same language, that sort of stuff. But for you this week, I want you to pick one of your coworkers and do something kind for them this week. Something kind at work. Maybe, I don't know, whatever. Bring them a coffee that's out of the ordinary, or maybe just give them an encouragement, or stop by their desk, or say something. If you could just encourage a coworker by doing one kind thing for them. Remember, all we're trying to do is give thanks to God for the people that he gave us. He's given us parents, he's given us friends, he's given us coworkers, and so I can thank God verbally, but how can I show my thanks to God? It's by showing that thanks to those that are around us. And life continues. Maybe you come to this place where God provides a special someone. Maybe you got a special someone, a spouse in your life. And so maybe that's you. Song of Songs says, many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all of their wealth of one's house for love, like it would be utterly scorned. It's way more valuable than that. Our spouse has an ability like no other to shape us, to change us, to inspire us. Now, this is one that I can speak absolutely confident for me. I am so thankful for who God brought in my life as my wife. My wife's incredible. She's perfect for me. She laughs at my jokes. She enjoys movies. And despite the odds, she cheers for the Clippers, the Angels, and the Rams. She loves God alongside of me. She loves ministry. And so where's my wife? Is she hanging around here somewhere? Probably outside doing something. Love you, babe. So if your spouse is here, would you just take a moment and turn to them and tell them you're thankful for them and that you love them if your spouse is here. And if for some reason you're here and they're not, then go ahead and run them a quick text. Guess my wife's not here. Oh, well. Love you, babe. Now, what happens oftentimes a few years after you get that spouse, you get another incredible blessing. God brings this gift of children into your life whom we can be thankful for. So we've got a picture of different names, sons and daughters. In Psalm, it said, children are a heritage from the Lord. Offspring, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Parents, you know that you're thankful in a way that I can't even describe. I was trying to write some words that would reflect how a parent's heart feels towards their kid, and it's really tough. There's no words to describe how you feel when you see their face or when they like burst out into laughter, how that alters you. Or maybe when you peek open their door and you see them sleeping. Man, so thankful for the gift of our wonderful kids. So my kids, they came from all over the world. We got one from China, one from Korea, and one from Anaheim. And God has blessed us with making our family complete by bringing amazing kids into our lives. And I'm so thankful to God for each of them. So again, if you're here with your kids, if you could just turn to them, parents, and thank them for being amazing. Tell them that you love them. Go ahead and verbalize that right now. I get Biner stuck here. Hi, Kayla, I love you. I'm so thankful for you in my life. You are such a joy. Andrew and Esther, thank you guys for working so hard and being amazing. I love you. Love you. You make my heart soar. I'll tell my other one. He's all right. Dads, make sure to include the word love when you're talking to your kids right now. We don't say it enough. All right, along the way of life, we pick up some enemies. All right, you probably don't have any enemies, but maybe some difficult people or at least some people maybe you don't like so much. But you know what? The Bible says that we ought to be thankful for even them. Consider this verse here. Oh, there's a graphic here. Let me show that graphic real fast. There's all sorts of different kinds of difficult people. Sour, bossy, negative, pushy, aloof. You know, like I don't know what kind of negative people you may have in your life or enemies or difficult people, but there's all sorts of them here. Maybe that frustrates you on a daily basis, you know. So there's some difficult. Anyone know any of those? Anyone like that? None of them are in your house, I'm sure, so that's good. But yeah, this isn't, don't point to your wife right now. That's not how thankfulness works, gentlemen or ladies. Don't point to your husbands. Check out what Jesus says in Luke. It's recorded by Luke. He says, but to you who are listening, I say this. Hey, if you're listening, listen up. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you. How about you pray for those who mistreat you? If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to them the other. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. Look, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemy. Do good to them. and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. You see, enemies and people that are difficult give you the opportunity to be like God, because God loved a difficult person. God loved a horrible person called you. God demonstrated His love by dying for you. You didn't deserve it. It's not because you're great and you're like, oh, look, this is a wonderful person I'm going to die for. All of us who know the Lord know that He died for a wicked sinner. He died when I was the one spitting on Him. And so when God allows enemies or difficult people in our life, it is an incredible opportunity to walk in the footsteps of God, because that's everyone's an enemy of God until they turn to Jesus, and He absolutely loves them. And so maybe you get an extra enemy this week. God will bring a blessing of a difficult person so that you can walk in the footsteps of God, so that you could be challenged. They will help reveal your weaknesses. They will reveal how petty you are. Even that enemy that is cut in front of you on the traffic, they will reveal how many bad words and how many bad motions you have just sitting there. And then you could be like, thanks, God, they revealed that. And I get to confess it out so that doesn't spill out on my family when I get home. The enemies help us challenge our character and our faith. They really push us beyond what we want to be pushed. And so we can be thankful for even our enemies. This morning, I think we can tell God, thank you, God, for who you provide in my life. So we're going to close today's message portion. We're going to, right after this, have a hang time where we're going to go outside and have barbecue. And I'd like you to take the bold step of thanking three JRC people. Just as you're out there, I know it can be a little awkward sometimes to say those kind of words, but I'd like to invite you to do that as we spend time. I do have, last week I mentioned I'm going to have the names of some kids who need to be sponsored for the youth retreat that are from the Gleanings Missionary Kids, and so I have those cards here. Two of them have already been taken. I only have six, so you're going to have to run up to me right after if you're interested in sponsoring someone to go to our youth retreat from another church, from these missionary families that are at Gleanings. And so in addition, this week, I want you to just take some extra time. As we've been thankful for the last 3 weeks, it's been the point of the message. Thursday is going to come up. It's Thanksgiving. You get to eat with your family, hopefully, and hang out and be with some friends. And I want to keep God at the forefront of our minds as we go into Thanksgiving week. Thankful for God and thankful for the salvation that's found in Jesus, our foundation, and then be thankful for who He's provided in your life. Let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to close our Thanksgiving service and our series with a song of thanks to God.